They all just jumped over the railings and swarmed the officials, went after the belts, went after the trophies. And what actually happened was one of the officials took all the belts so they could go put them in the back of the van. But what happened was all of the fighters and coaches chased after the official and jumped him and took the belts off of him. It was really messed up, but it was definitely something to remember.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 29 of the Good People, Bad Intentions podcast. And today, as my guest, I have Josh Cull. Now, Josh Cull is an amateur boxer from Nova Scotia, and most recently, he had competed in Scotland MTK Global Lonsdale Box Cup, in which he had got gold. But what's really interesting about that, if you had heard in the news or anything like that, is the event had a weird ending. It got ended early. I personally don't have too much information about it, but everybody that I was following has said that, yeah, there was riots. There was, everybody was not happy with that event. And I'm really looking forward to asking him his thoughts. And then, of course, I have actually seen Josh compete in person. I saw him at the Sackville Arena for the 50th anniversary of the Citadel Boxing, and they had a card structured around that. He's a very entertaining fighter, guys, and I'm really looking forward to having him on to talk about his boxing journey and what he has going forward. So without further ado, here's Josh Cull. Hey, Josh, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
I had to have you on because I just saw you not too long ago. You're at the Sackville Arena. You had a really impressive performance. You got an award afterwards. I think you got, didn't you get fighter of the night?
Yep, I got fighter of the night that night. That's what I told Wayne. I said right before the fight, I walked over to Wayne. I said, Wayne, this is going to be my trophy tonight. And then he said, all right, then.
So you had like...
I knew I was going to get
it. So you exuded those... Yeah, you exuded the confidence. That's good.
Exactly.
And I just want to make sure I get your opponent right. Were you fighting against Landon Martin again, or was it another opponent?
That was a different opponent.
Okay.
Landon Martin actually backed out of that fight when I was supposed to fight him at the Sackville Arena. I fought somebody named Hunter Nagala.
Okay.
Yep.
And I just, I just actually noticed that Citadel had just put out a nice little video summarizing the event, because I had seen somebody that had like really cool video kit walking around during the fight. So I was wondering what was being produced. But what I remember from watching you fight that night was that you had a very elusive style. You were, a really entertaining person to watch.
Thank you.
And in that fight, you dominated the whole fight, and it was really clear that there was some gaps as far as skills between you and your opponent. And I'm just curious, how long have you been boxing?
Consistently, I've been boxing for around 2 years, maybe. Yeah, around two years, 1 or 2 years, consistent boxing. I boxed before COVID. Before the pandemic happened, for about a few months, and then I stopped for a full year because of the pandemic. And after the pandemic kind of went down a bit, I went right back to the gym, and I was consistent every day. And I started having fights come in.
Hey, awesome.
Yep.
And you have a really great team. I've already had Wayne on. Of course, I had Sierra on. Mm-hmm. Wayne, really well decorated amateur fighter and pro fighter himself, and now a coach. And then of course you guys just celebrated like the 50th anniversary of Citadel Boxing for that tournament. It was a really good tournament. It was actually the first amateur boxing event that I had ever saw, so I was really impressed with how everything went. And then most recently you went to the Lonsdale, was it the Lonsdale, like the MTK Box Cup?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you took gold. But when I was talking to you outside of the podcast, there was a little bit of controversy with the whole entire event. And I just thought I would ask you right out, like, can you just kind of talk about your experience? I mean,
yeah,
you won gold, but But were you maybe robbed of some fights that you were looking forward to?
I wasn't necessarily robbed, but I was robbed for the belt, like actually robbed, because the people stole all of the belts and the other like awards. So what happened was, with all this controversy, the announcers announced that the tournament will no longer continue. And there was some controversy about why it was canceled. There was actually a news report on Scotland, or on the Scotland news, that there was a gun pulled out. But if you read more about the article, it said that there was no gun. So the guy was just trying to cover it up, saying that there was a gun because he was getting so much backlash and death threats and a bunch of other bad things. So after they announced that the tournament could no longer continue, it was a massive riot. Everybody jumped over the stands. They went crazy. It was insane. They all just jumped over the railings and swarmed the officials, went after the belts, went after the trophies. And what actually happened was, one of the officials took all the belts so they could go put them in the back of the van. But what happened was, all of the fighters and coaches chased after the official and jumped him and took the belts off of him. It was really messed up, but it was definitely something to remember. It was a big riot and a lot of fights, and the police swarmed the building. It was very, very overwhelming. It was a lot of people.
Wow. And I did message, and you said everybody on your team and everything was all right, which is good. That's like the first thing I always wonder is, because I don't know. How old are you again?
I'm 16.
16, yes. So 16, I would hate for something to have happened to you, especially how young you are and everything like that, and going to these competitions. I mean, it's hard enough that people have kind of this negative stigma about boxing and, you know, injuries and stuff. So it sucks that these types of things happen, because it kind of takes away from, you know, what everybody's trying to accomplish with the sport.
Yeah.
And I was just curious too, because, you know, this is an MTK global event. And they had, from my understanding, had kind of closed up shop after a controversy with, his name was Daniel Kinahan, a crime boss. And I guess there was some type of affiliation with him and this promotion. And of course, MTK Global, you know, known for being with Tyson Fury, also with the UFC fighter Darren Till from Liverpool. Was there any, like, feelings that there was maybe like the people running it was a little shady to begin with, or was the event all good up until that particular moment from your side?
It was a pretty good, it was an okay first day. It was running very slow, and it wasn't a very well put together tournament. It was very, very slow paced and very unorganized and very poorly managed. And I think that's honestly what happened and why all the riots broke out, or why it actually got canceled, because it was so poorly managed and all the coaches were asking questions about the fighters and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I was watching, I don't know if you know Nyusha, from team, she's on, I believe, Team Canada, but she's in British Columbia, and she put on her story, cause Team BC, I guess, was at that event, if I'm not mistaken. So am I wrong in saying that? Was this in Scotland, or
it was in Scotland. The MTK Box Cup was in Scotland.
Okay. So maybe it was another, maybe I'm thinking about another event, because she went to another event and they were taking off the posters. And I was like thinking to myself, huh, I wonder if this was anywhat related to the riots going on, but maybe that's a completely thing.
I think that is a completely different event, because I think we were the only Canadian people there, because everywhere I went, they would ask me, where are you from? And I said, I'm from Canada. And they were like, wow, really? And they were like astonished that I was from Canada. They never had anybody box from Canada there, which was pretty cool.
Wow. And any connections you were able to make with Nova Scotia, New Scotland, and Scotland, where there's any connections, or you think it's kind of just more of a name than anything?
I think it was more of a name. I definitely made a lot of friends there, which was pretty cool. I actually had a few gyms offer me to train with them, because they thought I was very good and I fought very well. I beat one of their best fighters. One of the gyms, his fighter was a 5-time national champion, and I beat him. And they messaged me and they said, if you're wondering if you would like to come train with us, you're more than welcome, and we'll pay for your accommodations. And I said, really? Wow, thank you. And at the time, we couldn't because our flight was the next day, so we couldn't really do anything about it. But Wayne is thinking about sending me up there for another training camp, which would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really awesome. And I know, like, the UK in general, as far as boxing, they have a very interesting style.
Definitely.
Were you able to kind of get a grasp of this style when you were fighting them? Like, what kind of characteristics would you say they had, your opponents?
Well, I only had one opponent because the rest of them backed out. But okay. The first opponent I had, he was very, I'd say he was pretty slick. He was more of a boxer than a fighter. Most of the fighters there were not actually fighters. They were just boxers. They came to box, and they weren't as in good of condition as I thought they would be in. They were just more boxers, and they try to punch and then move away and try to get away from the fight kind of thing. Punch and then hit and run kind of thing. And when I fought the guy, in the first round, I'd say he was kind of outboxing me, and then I had to pick up the pace and just go at him and fight him, and that's what won me the fight.
Okay, wow. So, congratulations.
Thank
like
you.
I said, I know that the event didn't go necessarily the way that you wanted, and you didn't really, people say bring back hardware. Your hardware is like probably on the black market somewhere or something, you know what I mean? But, and I wanted to say also, you know, happy Canada Day,
of course.
It is Canada Day. You're a Canadian, I'm a Canadian. It's really cool. And I wanted to now shift the conversation a little bit and ask you, what have you been making of, you know, you're 16 years old, you've been in boxing for 2 years, or sorry, 3 years. When all this YouTube boxing, celebrity boxing has been going on, you know, you got stars like Ryan Garcia, who's been just a popular boxer on TikTok and Instagram and stuff. What do you make of this new wave of boxers? Do you get behind them, or have you been getting into boxing? Were you a fan of some of the older boxers? And
I think definitely I was more of like I liked a lot of the old school fighters. Definitely some of the old school boxers like Muhammad Ali, Roy Jones Jr., Sugar Ray Robertson, Sugar Ray Leonard, Marvin Hagler, Tommy Hearns, all those guys. Definitely some of the best boxers I've ever seen.
And what does it make of you? Because I've had Wayne on the podcast. You know, he had done some work as a pro with Angelo Dundee, Muhammad Ali's trainer. Were you able to have some talks with him about that and maybe get some inspiration? Because not everybody has that opportunity, right?
I have asked Wayne about Muhammad Ali and if he was close with him, but he wasn't really too close with him. He was more close with Angelo Dundee. He told me that Angelo Dundee was definitely like the best coach he's ever had, which was pretty cool. It was pretty inspiring that I have a coach that has been coached by actually the best coach of all time, and he was friends with actually the best, supposed to be the best boxer of all time, which is pretty cool.
And you also I had Sierra on. You know, Sierra is a really, really wonderful person. You know, we talked about the all-around champion that she had participated on, so she was able to see her athletic abilities compared to other athletes and was able to win. And then she's obviously went and with the Esker Cup, she won several years in a row and kind of made history that way. As far as the scene at Citadel Boxing, with all these, you know, former as well as current champions, you know, can you just kind of describe what it's like when you're training there? Do you feel an easy place to be inspired by being around these people, or you feel like, you know, this, it brings a healthy competition that makes you a better fighter?
Yeah, I definitely think that being in this gym and the kind of environment I am in is very good for me. It's definitely made me a better boxer. Being around like Tyson Cave and like Wayne and a few other guys, it's been, it's helped me a lot to be a better boxer. I'm around like the best of the best, and the only way you can get better is by beating the best and sparring with the best, working with the best.
They and Tyson Cave and Wayne, they were on this swear nut show. I forget the boxing. But do you know the term, the title?
Sweet Science.
Sweet Science. Yes. Sorry. And I hadn't had the chance yet to watch it. I do plan on watching it all in one go, get my money's worth with the subscription. But I was just curious, were you a part of any of the filming that was going on there? Were you able to see the kind of the process in your own eyes?
I was able to witness the process of the show. I wasn't on the show, but I was at the finale. I fought at the finale and I stopped the guy in the third round. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. I also am thinking that I'm going to be on season two as a sparring partner because I was helping.
Whoa.
I did train with the guys that were on the TV show and I sparred with them to help them a bit to get better. And yeah, hopefully I will be on season two as a sparring partner, which will be pretty cool.
And am I reading it correctly? Was it just Justin Chambers that was able to compete from the, was he a part of the show? Like one of the people that started in it?
Yes, he was on the show.
Okay. Because I was understanding from everything I gathered that there was some challenges, maybe, and again, maybe if I watch it, I would understand more, but I was of the opinion that there was some challenges maybe towards the end of the show, and really he was the only one that was able to fight out the guys. Was there a lot of people that kind of quit? It was too much for them? Or?
Yeah, I definitely think that a lot of them quit because of the mental aspect it has.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very overwhelming for them. There was a guy on the show who said it was just too much for him. And he just couldn't handle the pressure and stuff. Which is a lot, because when you're performing that in front of that many people, it's very, very overwhelming and very nerve-wracking. Because there's always a loser and there's always a winner. And it's like pure humiliation if you get outclassed by the other guy. And you just get beat up.
Well, I'd really like to see on the second season as a sparring partner. I just hope that they don't get so whipped up that they're like, I'm definitely not gonna go around. Because it's like, you probably agree, like, you know, boxing's a lot of times about being sometimes the hammer and sometimes the nail, especially when you get in with people with different experience. And it could be hard sometimes when you keep getting beat up and, you know, you're not learning, you're not getting better at a particular time. And yeah, it could be pretty challenging mentally.
Oh, definitely. Boxing is you can't play boxing. It's a huge mental aspect. You have to be very mentally strong to box. You have to be very, very mentally strong.
And I just wanted to ask this because it's kind of off topic for boxing, but seeing that you're 16 years old, as you said, I wanted to ask you, for the last couple of years where everything's been kind of weird with COVID, you know, I'd imagine you spent some time doing some online schooling, and I'm not sure if you had the setup. You have a really nice setup, by the way.
Thank you.
I've seen a lot of people start getting a good setup after the pandemic or during the pandemic. Were you a fan of the online schooling, or, you know, are you a fan of in class, and how has that adjustment been to going back to how things were?
It hasn't really been that big of an adjustment because I was in an environment where it still felt like class because me and my siblings would go somewhere and then do the online school there and then we'd go back home. So the adjustment it was pretty cool. And the adjustment wasn't huge. I'm getting used to it and I'm very happy that COVID is starting to die down, which is very good.
And you mentioned siblings. Do you have anybody else in your family that's interested in boxing?
Yeah, my younger nephew, his name's Gregory. Yeah, he was a boxer for a little bit. He stopped boxing, though, for a bit to join the provincial track team because he's a really fast runner.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and my uncle was also a boxer. My uncle knew Wayne.
Oh, okay. So we got, like, kind of a connection there.
Yeah.
And Has your uncle been able to see any of your fights live? Or?
Yeah. He was able
and
to
what,
see.
What did he think? Did he think you were holding the family name?
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely the best boxer in the family, or best fighter, for sure.
Oh, watch out. You're going to get some of those siblings. You're going to get them in there, and they're going to try to get you. I imagine, are they younger siblings?
No, I'm the youngest of six.
Oh,
yeah.
Six. Wow. Okay. So some healthy competition there.
Yep. Definitely.
I just have a sister. My sister is 3 years older than me. Sometimes it could be fun being the little kid. Sometimes it could be a little annoying because
definitely
you kind of feel like you're babied all the time. You're like, well, I'm grown up, you know,
yeah.
Like stop treating me like a kid. That's cool. And I noticed too, I really like your background. You got Muhammad Ali there. You got,
thank you.
Got a headgear, white headgear. You put that. Oh, you got gloves too. Oh, he's got two sets of gloves.
I got two sets of gloves.
Is this all your retired gear, or is this stuff
no,
that you've
this
been
is
using
just stuff
still?
I usually hang it up to dry out after I'm done working out at the gym.
Oh,
I just hang it up. Because
okay.
That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to air dry them out. And I just thought it'd be cool to have my gear hung up on the wall and let it air dry out.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, man, maybe he, every every battle, he keeps, well, I'm glad you have the white, I like white headgear, but it can get pretty bloody sometimes and hard to get the marks out. So
definitely.
I'm glad it's still from this way. It looks like it's been well kept. So
yeah, I clean
awesome.
It after I get blood on it.
Okay. And, I'm just curious, do you, have any other hobbies outside of boxing? Is boxing the main focus of your life right now?
I don't really have any other hobbies except playing video games, but my main hobby is definitely boxing because that's where I want to go in life, is boxing.
Awesome. And do you see yourself in a few years, do you see yourself trying to go for the Olympics or
definitely
to go pro, or how far do you see this going?
I see myself being a world champion.
Okay. I like that. And you've if I'm not mistaken, you've already held some titles, correct? In amateur?
No, this is the first title I've held. The Lonsdale one. This is the first ever one I held.
And trying to think, what's is there any upcoming competitions that you know, we should be aware of that we could follow you on your journey?
There's I'm going to Brampton Cup in July. I got my accommodations paid for by Boxing Nova Scotia, which was pretty cool. And then after that, I'm going to Tampa Bay, Florida for another international tournament called the Chris Young International Tournament, I think that's what it's called, or Chris Young Box Cup. And then after that is Canada Games.
Wow.
Yep.
So you have quite the... Is this all within the summer months, or...?
All the tournaments that I just mentioned, the Brampton Cup and the Chris Young Box Cup, that's this summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's quite the schedule that you have there, even at 16.
Mm-hmm.
And is your school done for?
Yeah, finished right before I went to Scotland.
Okay. So you get your summer, you're going to be training, that's awesome. Any other, you gonna be holding down a job? Hey, McDonald's. I saw McDonald's is now $15 an hour, man.
$15. Wow. 15. That's a lot.
I mean, maybe it's false advertising, but that's what they have on the advertisements. Like that's pretty, you know, people can say whatever they want about McDonald's, but they're paying more than the minimum wage.
That's a lot more than minimum wage.
Yeah. And it's really good on the red. I'm not trying to convince you or anything, but people say, really good on the resume, like, you know, if your second job you apply to be a brain surgeon and your first job is McDonald's, they might consider you know how to flip patties.
Definitely.
Take orders.
Yeah, I do have a summer job. I actually have a summer job doing boxing, actually. So it's not really like a
job.
It's more like a passion. It doesn't feel like a job because I enjoy doing it. So it's like I'm doing something I enjoy, but I'm getting paid at doing it.
Doing coaching or?
No, I'm actually doing fitness videos with Nate Bauer.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I know Nate Bauer Fitness. So that's awesome. You're going to be doing the videos with him.
Yeah.
Any like, will there be like a period when the videos are recorded before they're put out? Are they going to be put out right away? Do you know?
I think it's a week or two that they take to process. Cause it's a lot of editing and stuff like that. It takes a while. I've already made a few videos with him. And that's what kind of got me into it. It was kind of like a fun thing. At first, he said, would you like to make a video of me? And I said, for sure. And then the people loved me, so they were like, we need more of him. So then he offered me a job to do it in the summer, and I said, for sure, that'd be awesome.
Well, I don't want to say it, but yeah, you seem to have a lot of these qualities that boxing is really, really looking towards now. Like before, it seemed like most people just wanted people because of their talent, but they want now these people with the talent, with the personality, and it seems like you got both of those
Definitely.
Going on.
Thank you. Yeah.
So that's awesome. And I'm just curious, is there any subjects when you're in school that you find really interesting that you like, or is there certain things, subjects that you like to talk about with your friends?
I'm pretty good at math.
Okay.
And I don't mind math. It's actually fun when you understand it, I'd find. And I think definitely what helped me this year is the teacher I had. The teacher made all the difference. She always asked me about boxing when I was doing my work, and it kind of helped me focus. Like, I was able to speak on my mind and then be able to write as I was doing it, which helped me a lot. She was very intrigued with how I was a pretty good boxer.
So when you, and I'm just trying to put it out there, I'm just curious, because I used to do karate in middle school. I didn't really like go around saying I do karate, because people think, oh, you think you're a badass or whatever. But when you're having these competitions where, you know, you're getting attention, and things like that, like, it becomes hard for people to be able to skip that. How have you dealt with this attention, you know, going to school and people knowing that you're taking titles now from Scotland?
It's very overwhelming, because everywhere I go in school, people always come up to me and they're like, when's your next fight, Josh? When's your next fight, Josh? Did you win your last fight? And they're always like asking me about boxing, because they think it's very, like, they think it's very cool that I'm a boxer. And they all admire my skill and stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I have.
They're not trying to pick fights or what?
Nope. None of them try to pick fights with me. Everybody knows to back off. There's actually been times where people are like, yeah, I don't want to mess with him. He's a boxer. It's pretty funny. I have a lot of supporters. I have a pretty good circle of friends, and they're all very supportive of my boxing career.
I'm really happy to hear that, because sometimes you get somebody to say, well, I get into boxing because, you know, I was in my earlier years, I was getting into fights a lot. Were you somebody that got into fights earlier on, or?
Yeah, that's actually kind of what got me into boxing. When I was younger, I was always getting in fights and getting in trouble. And I've always just been a fighter. I've loved fighting. I've always loved to fight. And it's kind of the same as Sierra. Me and Sierra kind of have the same background, sort of, that she also really loved to fight. And I've also really loved to fight. And I just love fighting. And my dad said, well, to keep you out of trouble, maybe we should put you in a boxing gym. And it took my mom like a year or so to get used to me wanting to be in a boxing gym. And it was in grade 6, actually. And I actually joined in grade 8. Yeah, grade 8. And she was like, okay, fine, you can join. And I joined, and I just fell in love with it. It helped me get out of trouble. It helped me learn how to fight, how to protect myself. It's helped me with everything in life. It's taught me a lot of life lessons, like discipline, how to suffer from adversity and like come back from it. It's taught me a lot of good qualities in life.
So if you look at yourself before boxing and you look at yourself now with boxing, like, there's a huge, you find there's a huge difference even how you are as a person?
Oh, for sure. It's definitely taught me a lot. It's definitely changed who I was for the better.
Awesome. I'm glad, because, I say this all the time. We watch something like Karate Kid and, you know, there's the Cobra Kai kind of class of people. And, you know, they're all about no mercy and strike first. And they're kind of like the bullies. And people have a lot of the stigma where they think that, you know, when their kids or whatnot are learning something like boxing or a martial art, that they're going to get into some bad habits or some bad things. But I find from my experience, and maybe you too, like, when you learn how to defend yourself and you learn how to fight, this is something that's one of the last things you actually try to do.
Yeah, it's definitely the last thing you try to do. I actually haven't been in a fight ever since I joined boxing.
Oh, wow.
Or,
hey, guys, hey, if you guys are listening, don't try to challenge him. Keep him on the straight and narrow path. He's got future plans with this sport. So if you're hearing this and you're saying, oh, he hasn't been in a fight, well, you know, I'm talking to you guys that are listening if you're from his school. Don't try anything now. Actually, so I'm trying to remember if my memory's correct. We were chatting on the YouTube chats, right, a couple months ago, and there was I think it was a tournament in the Americas that was going on. Were we both watching for, I think it was Wyatt that was fighting in...
the Continentals.
The Continentals, yes.
I think we were.
Yeah, because I saw you there in the chat. I was like, hey, buddy, what's going on?
Cause yeah, we were
both rooting for him. Yeah, yeah. And when I was watching the Continentals and I was seeing... Like, I was talking to this, I forget her name now, but she was kind of like somebody that was really savvy about the Cuban boxing team. And she was talking about how at the Continentals, they have like their kind of like their B team or maybe their C team that's competing. Like, she was saying that they have multiple teams. Mm-hmm. And like the one where La Cruz is on was not even the one that was fighting. And I was like, man, it's crazy to think that the Cubans in their style, like they have some amazing boxers and they'll actually take their best boxers off of some events to have them rest for the other bigger events. So it's like, yeah. Wow.
They have wickedly good boxers. So many good boxers in Cuba. Their national sport is actually boxing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, wow. Like, And it's crazy also, like, we can sometimes do well against them. And it's crazy, like, they have a lot of resources as far as their country and trying to get people into boxing. So
definitely
a lot of focus. Have you had any opportunities to either train with somebody that has the Cuban style or compete against somebody with the Cuban style?
No, definitely not. Cubans are just on a different level. They're very good. Haven't met anybody yet like them.
Yeah, because I always, like, I'm thinking about myself if I was in your shoes. I think that would be probably the most exciting thing for me because it would be such a challenge. It's a challenge in a lot of different areas. It's a challenge more maybe on the intellectual, you know, boxing IQ knowledge because they just make so many awesome moves when they're fighting and creative stuff that a lot of people here don't necessarily do. And it's not a knock against... you know, our particular style, but yeah, they're just so elusive. They're so, it's like they're dancing.
They're very slick, you know, yeah. They're very, yeah. Very elusive, like you said. Very slick. Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to ask you now some questions about some of our favorite, you know, boxers right now in the pro ranks. You know, 135-pound division, the bantamweight division, has been one of the most popular divisions lately because of how many amazing stars there are. And I'm just curious with everything that's been going on, you know, now that you have Devin Haney, I think he's just missing one belt, right? He's missing.
No, he's actually undisputed. He's the lightweight undisputed champion.
Okay. I think it was something like he needs, I don't know if he has to fight against the holder of the WBC in order for it to be a united belt or something like that. He has like, there's some weird, but either way, how do you see him, Devin Haney? Do you see him beating, you know, Loma, beating, you know, Teofimo when he comes back, Tank? Do you see him beating everybody? Or who wins the game?
I definitely think Lemonchenko would be his best fight. Devin Haney's on a different level than any of those fighters. He's definitely one of the best I've ever seen. I think the only person that I think could potentially beat him is Shakur Stevenson, but Shakur Stevenson's not in his weight class. He's two weight classes lower. I think Devin Haney's just on a completely different level than any of these boxers. He outboxed George Kambosos with Steez. It was so easy for him. It looked like he wasn't even putting in an effort. He outboxed him like crazy. And I think Lemonchenko, he's very, very elusive, and he's just a very slick boxer, so I think he's going to give Devin Haney a very hard time because I'd say Lemonchenko is also a boxer and a fighter, so he can fight and box at the same time. whenever he needs to. But Gervonta Davis, man, Gervonta Davis, he's like a huge puncher. He's a massively big puncher. I think he actually lost his fight against Santa Cruz. Or Isaac Cruz, not Santa Cruz. Isaac Cruz was, I'd say he was outboxing him in the first bit. But I guess he pulled it off. But I think he still won that fight.
And I see, like, I love Loma, you know, and I'm happy Usyk's actually going to be fighting Joshua. And I hope Loma can get to a position with everything going on with Ukraine that he can get to a position where he can start boxing again. Because it's such a shame when, you know, some of my favorite boxers in Ukraine, they haven't been able to fight because of the fact that they have a fight at home that they're doing right now.
Yeah.
But Loma, there's a couple things in the background that I'm curious as a fan, because, you know, he fought against Lopez, you know, he kind of started late, you know, he looked like at the end like he was winning the fight even though he lost by points. Then you got the fact that Lopez lost to Kambosos. So I look at Lopez as well as Kambosos kind of having a little thing above them where we're not sure really, you know, if they both had their best night, or when they beat each other, when they beat each other, Lopez beating Loma and then Kambosos beating Lopez, like, you don't know if they had their best nights for that or how everything works. But I'm hoping that Loma gets the opportunity to put himself in the mix so we can really see, you know, how everybody stands. Because luckily, those fights that we want as fans are finally more often than not being made.
Yeah, they're becoming more mandatory. I think Lemonchenko is actually the mandatory fight for Devin Haney after he comes back from Ukraine. Or it's Gervonta Davis. But personally, I think Teofimo Lopez outfought Lemonchenko when they fought. It looked like Teofimo just had a lot more heart and desire and just wanted those belts. Like, he wanted to win. And Lemonchenko took it like a champ. Like, he took his wins like he takes his losses, or his losses like he takes his wins. I think Lemonchenko wasn't doing his best that night. But I think he could definitely outskill Teofimo Lopez. And I think Teofimo Lopez got in his head, because Teofimo Lopez he's a big smack talker. Like, he talks a lot. And I think that's what kind of made him, he kind of lost at his own game when he fought George Kambosos. They had a lot of bad blood in between them. And when George Kambosos actually came out and they started fighting, he was just trying to fight fire with fire, and he ended up getting knocked down in the first round. He wasn't trying to extinguish the fire. He was actually just trying to make it bigger and worse. He's fighting with fire. And he also, that night when he fought George Kambosos, he had a tear in his esophagus and he had air trapped in his lungs. And if he got punched the right way, his lungs would have collapsed and he could have died. There was a huge article about it on Instagram, on the ESPN.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was very entertaining to read. It was very, like, shocking. It was like, wow, I did not know that.
And I was curious too. Did you watch Rolly versus Tank, the last fight that Tank had?
No, I saw highlights of it though.
Okay, because with that fight, and I was talking to some people after the fact. You know, I was really interested in Rolly, seeing where he is, because, you know, everybody has seen him sparring against Ryan Garcia, those sparring videos from the Mayweather gym, and that was some years ago. And I think Ryan's just such a big star. I do want to see how good he is to everybody else, but we kind of have to connect things, like the fact that Ryan and Devin had fought previously in the amateurs, and then of course those sparring videos. And I always feel like Ryan's not going to do that well against these people, to be honest.
Definitely won't be.
I love how he's open about a lot of things, like mental health. I think he's you know, he's had some challenges like everybody else. I mean, if I were to compare somebody to Ryan, I think it'd be like Justin Bieber or something like that. Like, honestly, because, you know, Justin's been had some issues or whatever, and people can let it impact how they actually look at him as a person. And I don't think Ryan's a bad fighter or anything like that. But yeah, like when Rolly fought Tank, you know, I was talking to somebody about it, and Rolly was starting his starting his rounds, because I think it went to around 7 or 8 rounds before he was caught. Rolly was caught. But Tank was kind of letting Rolly kind of posture him. He was getting into the corner a little bit. Rolly had really good when you're standing correctly and you're in a good spot. He was doing that a lot.
Position?
But yeah, a good position. But I felt like Tank was just kind of playing defensive to try to catch him for 8 rounds. And so it looked like Rolly was doing really well.
Definitely.
But in my mind, when I was putting myself into Tank's shoes, I was thinking Tank probably feels like he can't because he's a lot shorter and smaller than this guy. I felt like he couldn't walk this guy down. Like he had to catch him. And really, I think another interesting thing as a fan is trying to piece together between Tank and Haney, who's the better Mayweather-esque
definitely
fighter?
Devin because, Haney. I would definitely yes. put Devin Haney above Gervonta Davis in that aspect.
Yes. Because Haney was showing a lot of Floyd in his last fight. What I like about Tank, though, is he's like a Floyd at certain aspects, but then he's just really aggressive and powerful, despite his size. So I just love that he has those characteristics. It's fun.
Definitely.
But yeah, thanks for... I was just curious, because 135 is a big buzzing division. And how do you make of... Do you follow any of the other divisions? Is there people like... Are you watching Errol Spence and Crawford and the 147 division?
The biggest divisions I watch, I would say, is super featherweight, which is Shakur Stevenson. Lightweight, which is Devin Haney and all them. And welterweight, which is... what's his name? Errol Spence Jr. and... all them guys. And middleweight, because there's a fighter, or sorry, super middleweight, Custio Clayton, who's from here. I've known him for a while, and I watched his fight against Jaron Ennis, which was pretty entertaining. And I think Jaron Ennis, Boots is such a good fighter. I think he's definitely one of the best fighters pound for pound today. He should definitely be on that pound for pound list.
Were you upset when things didn't go his way for Custio? Because I definitely was, because... When we talk about fighters from here, like my grandparents know about Custio Clayton. When that article about him in the Olympics and everything like that went out, like everybody felt bad for him. And I've been really happy that he's had a really good run so far as a pro.
Yeah, definitely. I was pretty upset when he lost. I heard that he was very hard on himself about it, that he lost. I was talking to some friends that were actually at his house watching it with his daughter. And so I heard that he was very, very hard on himself about it. And he was very upset at the fact that he lost, because he was the only one that actually stepped up to take that fight. And he wanted to be the one to beat him. But you win some and you lose some. And I think he definitely showed a lot of heart. And I think that he fought pretty well. But Boots just outclassed him. Boots is just a really good fighter.
And yeah, I like what you said about that, because I think if you look at opponents as almost like mountains, you know, you see somebody try to climb a mountain and they fall off, and it could be a very intimidating thing. But at the end of the day, we all want to be that person that stops an unstoppable person. I mean, that does really well for your stock. You know, you become a very, you can become a superstar overnight doing something like that. And I don't fault somebody like Custio for trying that. And I really do think, you know, he has still a future in that division. And who knows what happens in the future with Boots. Maybe he gets eventually too old, or his stock kind of drops. But I was upset too. And I was talking with some people from, you know, Preston, you know, and it's been a big thing for the community. It's a big upset. And that's cool that you're able to know this guy. I mean, that's awesome. You have those connections.
I definitely think what makes these kind of underdog fighters beat the upper class fighters is their mental aspect, for sure. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of them are like, I got to beat this guy. Like they have to mentally talk themselves into it. Like, I'm going to win. Because when you're mentally defeating yourself, it's like you're already lost. Like, there's might as well just not even do it. You got to talk yourself through it. You got to be like, I can do it. I can do it. And I think that's what I do a lot. I always, that fight that I had in Scotland, I was a pretty big underdog in Scotland because that guy was a 5-time national champion. He was one of the best in Scotland. And so I went out there. And I was like, I got this. I got this. And there was actually a point where I was in my hotel room and I saw this quote and I listened to it over and over and over again. And I don't remember who it was by, but the guy said, he was explaining how a lion is the king of the jungle, but he's not the biggest because the elephant's the biggest. And he's not the fastest because the cheetah's the fastest. But what makes him the king of the jungle is that his mentality. Whenever he sees the elephant, he thinks food. But when the elephant sees the lion, he thinks run. So it's all about the mental aspect. You got to think you're the bigger man. You got to think that you got to win that fight.
And has there been, I mean, I don't know how transparent you are with your boxing so far, but has there been moments in a fight where you're not sure what's going to happen and you had to kind of think about these types of inspirations?
Yes, there were some times where I had to think about those inspirations, like my fight in Scotland when I was actually fighting him and I was getting outboxed in the first round. I had to think that way. I was like, I am the lion. I'm going to win this fight. I'm the bigger man. And I just went out there and I went out on fire. Like, I just went crazy and I just started fighting with him. And I knocked his mouth guard out in the third round. I just started like fighting with him like crazy, slipping, and then boom, 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 just hitting him. And then that's what won me the fight.
Because what I love about when I was watching you is you are an entertaining fighter. You're not, sometimes you get a fighter that, they like to run around the whole time. Right. And that's boxing. And I can't knock somebody because that's sometimes a strategy. But when I was watching you, I thought you were a healthy combination of a lot of things, slick boxer with fast hands, you know, with power. You said you mentioned a few times about stopping opponents. I mean, let's be honest, that's not the most common thing that happens in amateur boxing. I really appreciate your style, and I'm really excited to see kind of the future, because I mean, you know, you got all these events coming up and you're going to really be able to showcase, you know, what you got.
Definitely. Thank you. I'm always in the workshop working on my tools. I always got to keep that arsenal, keep my tools sharp. Always am working to get better every day.
I really appreciate you coming on there, Josh. We're running close to time. As always, I always give an opportunity to my guests at the end to just shout out some of their social media. If anybody wants to follow your journey, if they're listening.
Yeah. So my social media, I have Instagram, and that's _Josh.Cull, C-U-L-L. But yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much, Josh. No, I look forward to seeing the results of Brampton coming up soon.
Thank you. I'll let you guys know.
All right. Thank you.
All right. See you later.
And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Like always, if you enjoyed this podcast, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube if you're watching it. If you're listening to it on your preferred platform, if you could subscribe, that way when a new episode comes out, you won't miss it. Also, you can leave a rating with your honest opinion, how you thought the episode went. And yeah, like always, guys, whatever time you're listening to it, you're going for a drive, you're doing your dishes, whatever you do when you listen to the podcast, whatever time you listen to podcasts, I hope you have a good rest of your day, and I look forward to seeing you next time. Take care.